No. I'm going to ask you if you turn to your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Got a couple of verses here I want to draw your attention to. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, starting at verse number 9. Man, I don't need my glasses. These contacts are powerful. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. This morning, I'm going to preach a message that I titled, An Empty Cup. An Empty Cup. Precious Lord, we thank you again. We thank you for your presence. And even now, Father, even now, I ask you to touch me. Father, help me to decrease, for it's not about me. It's all about you. And so I ask you, Lord, to increase in me, that the words that come out of my mouth would be words from heaven, that they will pierce the hearts of your people, that may cause them to be challenged, maybe even be convicted. But Father God, Lord, I just pray that you have your way right now. Bless this time in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mom and Dad, earlier in the relationship, being that my mom, some of y'all go get a kick out of this, because y'all probably are not going to believe me. I might have to call her up like I did years ago. My mom is white. My dad is black. Growing up in school, I literally had to call my mom and say, Mom, tell them that you are white. And she'll get on the phone and she'll say, quit lying to them, you know I'm black. I said, no, Mom, let them know. I told them, look, they don't believe me. But yes, that is true. My mom is white and my dad is black. There's a total of 8 of us children. Out of the children, I'm one of the darkest ones. If you met some of my sisters, you wouldn't know that they were mixed. But my parents got together back in the 60s. They started talking in the 60s. Can you imagine what they went through back in the 60s? I talked to my mom multiple times about this as I learned, because when I was young, I didn't know nothing. I didn't see nothing different, maybe because I was sheltered in the house all the time. I don't know. When I was a toddler, I really didn't know until I went to school and people started asking me, why is your hair so curly? It was fine, curly. Big old afro curly hair. They was wondering, why is your hair so curly? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no clue. It's just my hair. Now, the ladies, well, the girls liked it. You know, they liked, you know. My boy back there, yeah. See, I told you we was brothers. Y'all, listen, we were brothers. You know, I'm starting to let the gray come in, so next time you see me, maybe we really look alike. You sure you ain't my real brother, man? Because you look like you got a little. But I really didn't know. I didn't, they're asking me these questions. They used to call me skinny yellow. Skinny yellow, because I was really skinny, and I was really yellow. But as I got older, and I started to understand, and people started to see my mom when I would get in trouble in school, and she would come in, and boy, they were asking, ma'am, can I help you? And they're saying, I'm here to see my son. He's right there. And they're looking around like, where is he at? So next thing you know, they started asking me questions like, how does she cook? The same, I guess the same way your mom cooked. No, she doesn't. Well, how do you know? Because I didn't know a difference. I had no clue the difference. Like, she cooked chicken, pork chops. Now, things got weird when she started cooking liver. I could not understand liver. But they would say, nah, it's not the same, man. I said, what's the difference? I didn't learn that until we started going to family reunions. There's a difference. Now, I'm going to ask a stupid question. It might be stupid. Has anybody ever went to, like, do y'all have a black family reunion in Columbus? Like, we have one in Cincinnati? You know, okay. They have chitlins. Y'all heard of chitlins, right? Has anybody ate chitlins? He gave me the thumb up. Yeah. Anybody ate chitlins before? Does anybody know what chitlins are? Okay. No wonder you need them. But I went to a family reunion on my daddy's side. Oh, my goodness. Big old pot of collard greens and didn't know nothing about them. Chitlins, I tasted them, but I'll never ate them again. Well, I did taste my wife. She cooks them. Pray for me. The smell. I'm saying all of this because my mom said it was hard. And when they got together, even their friends and family turned on them. And I said, Mom, what did you do? And she said, the only thing I could do, son, is pray. That's the only thing I could do. And I said, Mom, but what did you pray? And she said, I prayed that God would bless me and your father. That God would touch the hearts of the people that are around me. That God would touch the hearts of my own family. Now, there was a time when my mom really helped me out. I'm going to tell you this story and I'm going to move on. I got arrested. I know. Yes, he did. Same, I got arrested. I got arrested on a major street, standing in handcuffs. I had no clue what I did. But somehow the license plate light was one of them lights on the license plate were out. And they pulled me over. And then when they pulled me over, somehow I had a warrant for my arrest. And I'm like, a warrant for what? You didn't pay for a ticket, some ticket. Okay. So I thought they was going to give me a ticket. And, you know, I would go, no, they pulled me out of the car. Back then is when them cell phones came out with the flip on it. You know that little flip right there? I had one of those. And so the officer looked in the car and said, well, sir, those are one of the hottest items that's being stolen. I said, well, sir, that is mine. Now, I haven't used it in a long time. So when they put me in the back of the police car, he grabbed that phone and he put it in his car because it was dead. He plugged it in and he said, look, I'm going to charge you for theft if you don't know the number of this phone. Man, I ain't used that phone for a long time. That's one of them prepaid phones. You got to go. I didn't have money to go pay for it. And I'm sitting at the back of the police car like, Lord. Now, I was a knucklehead. But, Lord, I need you right now. And somehow, in some way, I remembered that number. I never got that phone back. They brought dogs to search my car. And I said, sir, what are you searching for? I have nothing but your car. You know, I had tint on the windows. They found speakers in the back of the trunk that wasn't even hooked up. And he said, sir, we're going to have to charge you for that. I said, they're not even hooked up. So I went to the jail, and they sat me down, and they started going with a long list of stuff I haven't heard of. This is what we're charging you with. Do, 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 do. I said, sir, can you just call my mom? So they got on the phone, they called my mom, and they told my mom that I was arrested. She came up. If you was there to see the look on the cop's face, when that woman, my mom, walked in, and said, I'm here for Eugene Moore. They looked at me and then looked at her. Now, he just told me all the charges. But next thing you know, he says, well, ma'am, we're sitting here with your son. Matter of fact, only thing we're going to charge him is this right here. Now, I was a knucklehead. Nah, bro, that's not what you that's not what you was just saying. But, no, that's what he did. And they charged me just with one little charge. And I went home with my mom. But she had it hard. My dad had it hard, even from their own family. And she prayed an earnest prayer. I don't know about you, but how many of you believe that prayer is one of the most vital, significant parts of our spiritual discipline? It is one of the most reliable sources that we have while we're on this Christian journey. Yet, there was a study done, a survey done, and the survey said there was only 61% of Americans that pray. Well, y'all probably looking at me like 61%, that's half of the population. That ain't too bad, preacher. But they didn't specifically say who those 61% was praying to. Because not everybody prays to the true and living God. 61%. But let's just say that all 61% prayed to the true God. Here's some numbers for you. Less than 44% pray daily. 21% pray more than once a day. 21%. Only 17% pray several times a week. 7% pray once a week. And the number goes down when it comes to once a month. Less than 44% pray more than one time or pray daily. I don't know about you. Church, I want you to hear me. As for believers, on this journey in life, the nutrients of our being is to yield to God's will by earnestly praying. And what are you saying, preacher? What do you mean? I mean, we have to have a heart that is engaged with God. I'll say it again. We have to have a heart that is engaged with God. And I don't know about you, but when I got engaged, I wanted to spend time with my fiance. I know you wanted to spend time with your fiance. And sometimes, instead of some of the things that we do in our lives, because we're so, our life's so hectic and chaotic and so busy, that sometimes it's hard to fall on our knees. And sometimes the only time we fall on our knees and we earnestly pray is when we're going through a trial. Then we find time. But daily, we should be praying an earnest and persistent prayer. Amen. James said our prayers should be effective, fervent. Listen, the energetic, passionate prayers of men and women have much power to accomplish so much. We got to pray, y'all. We got to pray. In our text, I want to draw your attention to a prayer by a man named Jabez. And in that prayer, he has these four requests that he wants to address with God. And first, we have to understand who Jabez is. He's only mentioned three times in the Bible. One in First Chronicles chapter 2, and the other in here in chapter 4. Jabez, the other time in Chronicles chapter 2, the word Jabez came because he was talking about the city, the town called Jabez, right? And here we hear about a prayer. We got to understand that Jabez's mom had borne him in sorrow, in pain, complications. And so Jabez's mom named him Jabez, which means pain. I don't know about you, but that had to be hard growing up to understand that your name means pain. Does anybody know what your name means? Anybody? Mine means noble. Yeah. Noble. But back then, your name was everything. Your name spoke of who you are and at times who you're going to become. Your name labels you. How many of you have been labeled? Come on now, I ain't the only one. I've been labeled a knucklehead. Messed up, tore up, a bum. I've been labeled so much in my young adult years. Labels could do some damage. And here we see a story where Jabez is dealing with what he calls the curse on his life. And if we go a little deeper, there was a sin that the mother had got into it, and she was dealing with the consequences, and she was okay with that, but she put also that on her son. And Jabez understood, I can't move forward with this curse over my head. How many of us understand that sometimes our environment can hold you back? But sometimes we got to get up out of that mindset that it would hold us back and shut us in, that we can make excuses for our effort. We can't hold these labels that are given on us and allow that to control our lives, to allow that to dictate what happens in the future. We can't allow labels to hold us down and put us in shackles. But so many of us in this world are shackled because of the labels that are put on us. My teacher said I was going to be a loser, that I wasn't going to do anything in my life. She said the only thing you might be able to do, since you want to be a clown in school, is to go join the circus. I was a clown because I laughed at what she said. I said, you know what, that might make sense. But if I allowed that label to hold some weight, oh Lord, thank you, it would weigh me down. And I would never be able to get to where God wants me to be, so I had to release myself from it. But guess what? No, it doesn't work that way. We can't release it. We got to call on to God. And Jabez was, he understood, this is something that I can't undo. This is something that I have no control of. So the only thing I can do is cry out to Almighty God. Jabez said, Lord, don't let my label change my legacy. Y'all missed that. He said, don't allow the label on my life to change the legacy of my life. And so the first thing he did, he says, Lord, I need you to bless me. Hey, I need you to bless me. Listen, some of us need to cry out, Lord, don't let my pain interfere with my future. Don't let my past forfeit my future. Some of us need to stand up and say, Lord, don't let my environment give me an excuse for the lack of effort. Lord, I got all these labels on me. I just need you to bless me. I need a blessing from you. How many of us need a blessing from God right now? I need a blessing from God right now. Don't let my troubles cause me to turn from you. Don't let my problems control my path. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Don't let my circumstances, oh man, change my course. Oh, boy, I'm preaching right now, y'all. We got to be careful. We got to be careful that we don't allow the labels to put a stronghold on us. Jabez, he prayed with boldness. Some of us, you know, when I give you them stats about praying, do you know some of the things that they prayed for? They have down that people were praying for shoes. Shoes, I said. They were praying for things that God may not even be concerned of. And I get it, because sometimes I do the same thing. I'll be out on my fishing boat. Lord, please let a crappie be over there by that tree stump. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be vulnerable. Before I go fishing the night before, you know how us fishermen, if you're a fisherman, you get a game plan together. I look on my Google Earth, and I'm trying to look for the right spots and look for some laydowns and get me some, you know. Then I go out there, and I mess with the fish finders and make sure they're all set, ready to go. And you get out there in on the lake, and your mind will start thinking, and you're starting to look across the lake, and you're starting to see, okay, this is what I seen on the Google Earth. I'm going to head over there because there's some laydowns. And it looks like there's like a little rock bed that's underneath that one. And you get out there, and as you're rolling in the boat, okay, Lord, if this is not the area you want me to be to find them crappies, lead me, Lord, lead me to where the crappies are. And y'all look at it and be like, boy, you crazy. No, I was. I was in that boat. Lord, come on. I need to go home. Because my wife's going to think I'm not even fishing if I don't bring no fish home. So I'm starting to make a deal with God. Look, God, you're going to get me in trouble. She's going to think I'm out here playing around. Why don't you ever bring fish home? Well, Lord, babe, I threw them back in. But you said you was bringing home dinner. I'm about to go get dinner at Kroger's. I'll be back. You know? Sometimes we make deals with God. God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. You got to be careful about that. Because now you put yourself in a situation. Have anybody made that prayer before? And how many of y'all kept y'all into the bargain? You in church now, come on. Jabez prayed with boldness. Second, Jabez prayed effectively. Jabez wanted God to enlarge his territory. The prayer of Jabez reveals that Jabez understands what many people do not. There is only one God, and he should be the center of our work. God wants to bless every part of our life. But we must make the choice to invite God. We must include God in the things that we want to do in our life when it comes to enhancing the kingdom and making a true impact in your community, in your church, in your city, in the schools, in your jobs, and in the world. See, sometimes we get complacent. We get complacent in our ministries. We get complacent in our small groups. We get complacent with the children's church. We get complacent, and some of us get complacent just coming and sitting in the church. God says, I want to use you. God says, I want to expand your territory. I want to expand your mission. I want to expand your ministry. And some of you in here, God is saying, I want to expand your spiritual life. Jabez prayed a prayer of effectiveness. I noticed that some people cried out to you, Lord. I noticed that you were expanding the territory, and I noticed that they couldn't do it, that they called on you because you're the only one that can do it. So many of us try to remove the label. So many of us try to carve out our own path. Sometimes we try to expand our own territory without God, and we suffer, and we look like those that were in the wilderness just moving around, walking around for 40 years, because without God, there's no expansion that's going to last. Jabez wanted to expand. Pastor Tony Evans said, and I quote, he says, in essence, he prayed, God, broaden my frontier The problem with too many of us is that we become complacent to the little plots of land in the kingdom when God wants to use us to expand the influence of his kingdom in history. God has a purpose, and God wants to use you. You, everybody raise your hand. Everybody put your hand in there. You, everybody with your hand up. He wants to use you to expand the influence of his kingdom. People who are complacent aren't motivated to ask God for anything, so you don't receive anything. Jabez wanted his kingdom to grow and knew the Lord could be the only one to deliver it. Jabez prayed effectively. His prayer was to be a great influence for God. And I don't know about you, but that is my prayer today. That not just myself, my own ministry, not God and Light Church, but God would expand, not just here in Groveport or Canal, Winchester, or Grove City, or Galloway, or Obetz, or Whitehall, or Reynoldsburg. God wants to expand. God says, look, your message is not just to one territory. Your message can be wherever you are. Hey. So when I'm on that cruise ship, right? Well, that's what she be doing. Y'all don't want to see her on a cruise ship, I tell you that right now. She be doing some other dancing. She gets low and everything, you know. Even on a cruise ship, wherever we go, God is saying, look, I can use you. Your territory, I just don't want it to be right here. I just don't just want it to be in this little block. I want to expand. And that's what you should have a desire for is, God, here I am. This is where I live. How can you expand my territory so I can enhance and influence the kingdom of God? I got to keep going, y'all. Ooh. I better get ready. There's a pastor, 11:33. I like that, man. See, they didn't do that at the other church. You know, they don't do that. They needed to. I told my wife, if I get up there, you know me. Give me that. Cut it off, bro. So I'm paying attention to her. But I got my friend back there now. My brother, he got me. Number three. I like this one. Jabez prayed for intimacy. Jabez wanted God's hand to be on him. And said, well, hold on, Pastor, what are you talking about? He didn't say anything about intimacy. But just look at the words. He said, God, I need your hands on me. I feel like Jabez was crying out to God and saying, look, because I know there's people that feel this way. But I get so emotional for it, man. Where did that come from? I was just laughing. But Jabez, in my heart, I feel like he was saying, God, I'm not secure. I know I asked you to bless me, but I need you, Lord. I know I want to work for you. I want to expand. I want you to expand my territory, but I need security. How many of us right now are insecure? We're going through this journey of life.
And we don't realize if we're coming or going, and it just seems like things are just not going the way you wanted to go, and you don't know what to do, and there's panic in your life, and so it starts to look that way, and you just don't have no security. One thing, my wife, all right, the kids went out, okay. Can I talk to you for a second? My wife likes me to hold her. There's something about my touch. And I don't have to be a very smart man to understand that when she feels that touch, there's a part of her that feels secure. Closeness. I want to be close to you. I want you close to me. And that is what Jabez is saying. He's saying, God, I need you to be close to me. Because I feel secure. Jabez is saying, like Psalm 63:1. You're God. You are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. And there's somebody here that needs to pray that scripture right there. Lord, give me that thirst back to you. Lord, I need you to touch me today. God wants intimacy with you. He wants that quality time. The Bible taught me years ago in RAs. You know what? Y'all see where y'all at. You know what RAs is? We're your best. All right, we are ambassadors for Christ, man. Look at you. I told you, man, we are brothers. He taught me. God is a jealous God. He don't want us to put anybody else in front of him. But he wants to spend time with you. So for a moment, Jabez says, Lord, I need a touch from you. A touch from you. A touch from God gives you peace. A touch from God gives you comfort. A touch from God gives you rest. A touch from God gives you security. A touch from God gives you favor. A touch from God gives you deliverance. A touch from God gives you life. Jabez says, I need to be touched by you. The Bible tells us that Jesus was talking about the sheep following him. Right? The sheep, they hear my voice, know my voice. And he says, those that follow me, God puts them in my hand. Right? And the Bible says that when you're in the hands of God, guess what? Nobody can pluck you out. There's something about being in the hands of God that you come untouchable. I don't know about you, but I'm good because I'm in the hands of God. Hey, guess what? I'm stronger because I'm in the hands of God. I'm wiser because I'm in the hands of God. I don't know how to say this to you, but I'm more confident because I'm in the hands of God. I'm more secure because I'm in the hands of God. And because I'm in the hands of God, there's nothing that man can do unto me. Because I'm in the hands of God. Number four, quickly. Whew. Jabez prayed for protection. I wanted to go down. See, I was about to go down. I caught myself. I did. I was about to go out. I was about to go down. He prayed for protection. Jabez wanted God to put a restraining order on the devil. Y'all didn't get that, did y'all? To put a restraining order on the devil. Y'all act like y'all don't know what restraining orders are. If I could do the rock right now and lift this eye up. He's saying, look, God. If you read the Bible, read verse 10. Read verse 10. It says here, and Jabez calls on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hands would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Listen, Jabez is saying, Lord, I need protection. I need you to keep me. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I need you to keep me for doing harm to myself. Too many of us get caught up with what people are telling you that you are. Too many of us get caught up on things that's going in our lives, trials, tribulations, circumstances, and you feel like there's nothing that could be done. And what do? You want to toss in the towel. God's saying, no, I need also protection. Yeah, from the enemy, but I need protection from myself. That my mind doesn't control me. That I can get this. Lord, I need you to renew my mind today. There's somebody here that needs a renewed mind. There's people here today that needs a renewed spirit. There's somebody here that needs motivation, encouragement to say, look, I've stranded away, but I need you, God, to pull me back in. Jabez said, Lord, protect me. Protect me. He clearly knows and prays specifically to the one who could protect him from evil and pain. He didn't want the blessings of God. He didn't want the blessings of God he was asking for or anticipating to be intercepted by the enemy. Because sometimes, you know, when you get on the path that God wants you in, when you get in the will, when your life is aligned up with God's will, guess what happens? That's when the devil really gets busy. That's when the devil starts to really get in your mind. That's when he starts to torment you through your wife and torment you through your husband. Next thing you know, he's messing you up with your kids. And next thing you know, your job is accusing you of something you had no clue that you did. You didn't even do it, but he's accusing you of it. Next thing you know, the person at the stoplight is giving you the finger, cussing you out. And it wasn't even you, the one that almost ran him over. All you know, the chaos is starting to come in your life. And all these trials are coming from where? You don't even know where they're coming from because they're hitting you every each way because he's trying to get you back off course. Yeah, that's how he works, y'all. That's what the enemy does. You thought when we moved here from Cincinnati about 8 months ago that the devil was going to leave us alone? Nah, me and her started fighting and boxing. No, I'm just playing. No, but the devil, yes, he got busy. And every time God shows us this and reveals himself to us doing this, next thing you know, we need to be ready because it's coming. He's coming. Soon as God directed us to Groveport, the enemy starts messing. I don't have time. I wish I did. We have to remember. We got to remember. When the enemy comes up against us like a flood, that God will rise a standard against it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hey, I like this one. If God be for us, then who could be against us? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Hey, whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies encamp against me to eat up my flesh, the Bible says they will stumble and fall. Oh, hey, he prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. Hey, he anointed my head with oil. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. And my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I don't know if you're getting it this morning. When the enemy thought he did something bad, God turns it to good. The enemy can try all he wants to, but he can't defeat God. And if you have a prayer life, it's hard to get a hold of you too. What about faith? Oh, yeah. Faith is there. You're praying, ain't you? Because if you didn't have faith, why would you call on God? Prayer is so vital in your walk with God. I don't know where you sit in them statistics. Oh, Lord is really with me. I said that and didn't mess it up. I don't know if you pray every day, once, twice, three. I don't know. I can't do that. Not only do I call on God, it's not that I call on God for something. No, I just like to spending time with him. I have my own little prayer room, y'all. I got my own little prayer room. It is interesting that Jabez didn't specifically ask God for this or this. He didn't ask God for a car. Well, camel. He didn't ask God for a bigger house. He asked God for his money. He didn't ask for those things. He asked those things that involved the Spirit. But his prayer was open-ended. In other words, he said, God, I'm giving you an empty cup. Oh, Lord bless. I'm not telling you what to put in it. I'm saying, Lord, here it is. It's an empty cup. Now, this is what I want, God. I want you to pour in it what you know I need. I'm not trying to go above and beyond. I just need you. Because guess what, God? You know what's best for me way more than I know what's best for myself. I'm not going to tell you how to bless me. I'm not going to tell you how to expand my territory. I'm not telling you how to touch me. I'm not telling you how to protect me. I'm just saying, Lord, here's my empty cup. Fill it as you please. I know I'm yelling, but I get excited about giving God an empty cup. Some of us today need to give God an empty cup. Some of us need to stop complaining to God. He likes to hear those things too, but not every day. God is probably up there like, look at my bride. She keeps complaining to me all the time. Y'all get the bride at the church? Give God an empty cup. That's what Jabez did. That's what's so powerful about these two verses. He says, here I am, God. I need you. I give you an empty cup. Now you fill it as you please. That should be our desire, and that should be our prayer today. My wife is going to come up. Man, I still went to 11:52. I am so sorry. I want you to do this. I want you to stand. Somebody needs to pray a prayer of boldness today. A prayer of effectiveness. A prayer of expansion. Prayer of protection. Some of us needs to give God an empty cup to fill. So while we're singing,